Hello and welcome to PokeSports, a competitive Pokemon podcast. I'm Mike and I play with one Pokemon on the field.
I'm Kevin. Going to Florida. Snappy alligators.
We are going to Florida. This weekend we will be there. We will be on not so much vacation, but as close to a vacation as we've taken in the past like 2 years.
Yeah, it's about dang time.
I want to say for you, Kevin, the last vacation that you have been on, was that the whole impetus for the first math episode that we did? When was the last vacation you went?
Oh, I don't even remember.
This was November 2020.
No, because I think I went January 2020 to Cancun. So it was close.
January 2020? Okay. So yeah. That's right. It was January 2020.
Went to Mexico.
So you went to Mexico. Mm-hmm. So was that the last one that you went?
Was it January 2020? It might have been. I think so. I don't remember. I think okay. I also went to Orlando sometime there somewhere.
That's true.
Life is such a blur, man.
Life is a blur. I can't remember the last 3 years either. I went to
Epcot one day, came back.
Just a day?
No, it was a couple of days. That's funny. Yeah, it was like, I don't remember.
So the last time, one of the last times that you went on vacation when you went to Punta Cana, that was Punta Cana, right? I'm not just...
No, it was Cancun. Punta Cana's in Dominican Republic.
Oh, man. I don't know. Everything is a blur. When you went to Cancun, we decided to record an episode of PokeSports a week in advance.
Ooh.
And today, this one isn't a week in advance. This is just a couple hours in advance, but this is an update to that episode. The episode that I'm talking about is episode 11, the math episode.
What are we on now?
Well, actually, funny that you say that. We are on episode 151. This is pretty much the Mew episode.
140 episodes ago.
Mm-hmm. 140 episodes.
Remember that?
We talked about math. I expected you to remember when you went on vacation.
That's 140 weeks ago. Even more. I mean, I guess we skipped a couple in between.
Hey, man, I went to Boston in grade 8, and I remember that.
Yeah, but that's when your memory was still developing.
Okay.
I feel like I know that I've hit an old age. Because I can remember my whole teenage years.
Okay.
Can't remember 3 years ago. Don't know where I was. Don't know what I was
doing. It doesn't matter because it's all been in your adult years.
Yeah.
Because we remember them in chunks like that, right? We remember being a child from like 0 to 10. We remember being a teenager from like teenage years. And then it's adult after that. And it's like, that's forever.
Yeah.
I don't remember after I got into masters. Come on.
I can't even remember if I terastalized turn one or not. Like, and I'm on turn two.
Exactly. Did I hit protect last turn? Am I plus two? Is rain still up? You can see rain on the field and I've forgotten that it's still up. Psychic terrain is down and I still hit fake out.
But yeah, we're going to Florida, guys.
We are going to Florida.
If you're going to Orlando Regionals or if you have any plans of going to Orlando Regionals, don't be afraid to say hi. We're very nice people, believe it or not.
I will smile at you at least once.
Buy us a beer.
So today, Kevin, in honor of that episode 140 episodes ago, we are going to get into how the sausage is made.
Uh-oh.
And in order to do that, I figured I might as well let you in on how we do PokeSports. You, the listener, not you, Kevin, you know all of this. So like I said, we usually record PokeSports like really close to when we put it out, sometimes like hours before when we put it out. We usually do that so the information is up to date, and in Pokemon, usually some information comes in pieces. So you don't want to put out like week old info if a bit of one thing comes out. Like, do you remember that Iono video that everyone was like, oh, this is coming out. This is going to be amazing, this information. And then it was Iono doing a live stream.
Come back next week for more information.
Yeah.
We got clickbaited.
Oh, well, all right then. And plus, there's only so much that goes on in a week in Pokemon. So we try to be one of the first ones to chat about it because there's value in that. Right. And so the first time, one of the first times that we deviated from that was episode 11, the math episode, when Kevin was going on vacation. We had to record that a week early, which was kind of weird for us, but I decided to turn that into a whole like podcast style lecture, which we called a math episode.
Strap in, folks. We're going to school.
Exactly. We're going to school, baby. The math episode, it quickly became one of our most listened episodes. And we hear people constantly talk about that episode all the time. And even now that like PokeSports has grown, the loudest OGs are the ones talking about that episode. But an even louder group has been the people asking for a new math episode now that we have Scarlet and Violet updated for Scarlet and Violet. And also to include some of the things that we missed the first time around. I listened to that episode to get ready for this one. And like, have you listened to some of our old stuff recently?
I can't. It's not, listen, I don't have a problem listening to my own voice. I watch my own videos over. I edit my own videos.
Same.
I have a problem listening to my own voice when it sounds like garbage though.
Yeah.
I can't. Can't go back.
Just the jump in audio quality between 2020 and now, like I'm never doubting myself again.
Enjoy these sounds in your ears while they last.
Enjoy the sounds while they last.
I don't know. We could die.
Oh, okay. And so again, with this episode being episode 151, much like Pokemon number 151, that's Mew. Mew was the last Pokemon before the new generation where they updated how math worked.
Pokemon.
We're going to Gen 2 PokeSports. That's right.
Oh my goodness. When does Gen 2 end?
I don't know. I know very well when Gen 1 ends. I do not know when Gen 2 ends.
Yeah. Okay. If you had to guess, since this is the math episode, I guess this is a number.
I would guess 251.
250? Now I have to go look it up because it beats me.
What was the first
Pokemon? That was Bulbasaur.
In Gen 3.
That was, it would have to be the grass. Wait, Gen 3? Yep. It has to be grass, so it's Treecko.
Treecko is not, oh, come on. Treecko, I spelled Treecko wrong. It's number 252. I was right.
Oh, you're close.
250, no, I was right. 251 is
the Eevee number. Like effort value number.
Oh yeah, the EV effort number. Yeah,
yeah. So. Max effort values. Is that when they added effort values, or was that always in?
No, I think that was. I don't know.
You're this the math guy.
This isn't the history episode, Kevin. This is the math episode. All right. So leading into this episode, I asked in the previous episode, do you do your own calculations, or do you feel out how much damage a move will do? First of all, Kevin, what do you do?
I'm a feeler.
Yeah,
I don't calc during battles. I calc in team building, not during battles. It's a feeling thing. Or if something surprises me, that's when I'll be like, oh, my feeling didn't feel that. Let me go calc it, you know?
Yeah. How many people do you think answered how they do their own calculations?
I think more feelers are out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a feeler world.
If you had to give it like a Family Feud like number to it. Out of 100 people, how many people?
70-30.
70-30? Okay.
Yeah.
95% of people say that they feel it out.
I'm in the majority. I'm not unique.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. You are in the majority.
Yeah, my feelings better than their feelings.
Yeah.
I have individual feelings.
Less than a quarter of the people mentioned that they do some calculations in practice, kind of like yourself. So that's what makes you unique. Congratulations.
Hey!
But most of the people said that they still end up just sending it in tournaments, right? They don't do a ton of preparations for that. Cause like, what can you do? Right.
252,
you don't have
252,
a calculator go. In front of you. Exactly. 252, 252, go.
Is it sad to admit that my Orlando team is mostly 252, 252?
I think it's on brand for
you. Yeah.
So it's the way that most of us play, especially the people who've been playing for a long time, like you, like me. We feel out most of what we do. We have a lot of confidence in the moves that we choose. Now, I don't want to change the way that we play in this episode. I want to make us better. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that I can help people do that is by showing how to feel it out a little more accurately.
That makes sense.
Right? Yeah. So back in 2020, we talked about how stats are influenced, and that is all more or less the same. effort values, individual values, natures, moves, abilities, types, items. They all like work together to make your Pokemon do the most damage that they can. EVs, IVs, and natures are probably one of like the first things that upcoming competitive players learn. And I'm going to assume that like you as the listener have some kind of base knowledge of that. And if not, then your whole world is going to change when you go and learn about what those are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. If you have any semblance of wanting to like keep these Pokemon as like creatures in your heart, don't look up EVs, IVs, or natures. That just, it really just turns them into ones and zeros at that point.
That's, you know, all they are.
That's all they are. But at that point, it's like, welcome to the big leagues, because that's hands down the most influential part of Pokemon because of what math those base numbers go through. And I want you to remember the term base numbers for the end of this, because there's something new that's been going on in Scarlet and Violet that affects the base numbers. Mm-hmm. And it's an absolute game changer. But what we're going to go over first is three things. We're going to go over the damage calculation, critical hits, and terastalization.
Those things
specifically. Yeah. We've already talked about EVs and IVs and stuff. You can go back and try to listen to episode 11. We couldn't, but I think you can also pretty much Google that stuff. Or if people have been watching or listening through this whole time, then you probably already know about that stuff. So damage calculation. Damage calculation has a ton of moving parts. It's a very long formula where if you lay it out, it's pretty overwhelming. But it's actually pretty simple if you break it down.
If you dissect
it, I think if I get any kind of tattoo.
Oh no. Why is he getting a damage calculation on his arm?
What are they gonna do in tournament?
They're gonna change it in Gen 10 and you're gonna be
because of me.
And then you just have to add on times Terra.
That's right. Just get it like written around my arm, like spiraling up. That's fun. So there are two aspects to this, right? There's the damage calculation and there are damage modifiers. The calculation involves level, move power, attack, and opponent's defense. And that's mostly all there in front of you. Level, move power, attack, you know what those are going to be. Your level is always going to be 50 in competitive. Your move power is always going to be what the move power says. And your attack is always going to be what you make your Pokemon to have as its attack. The only thing that you can't really control is the opponent's defense. And that's where it kind of gets into a little bit of feeling it out. But all of the modifiers can sometimes make it where that defense stat doesn't matter as much, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of things that go into that. The things that go into damage modifiers are number of targets, weather, critical, random, which we'll talk about in a bit, stab, which we'll talk about in a bit, which is same type attack bonus, type, burn, and other, which for some ability, that like applies to some abilities, items, and moves. So we're talking like psychic terrain or
life orb,
choice band, choice scarf. Choice specs, not so much choice scarf, that's speed.
It modifies the speed.
Mm-hmm. And there's one that's new to this generation, which is called Terra Shield, which is a really cool term that I never heard of until doing Terra research for this.
Shield. Welcome to Terra Sword and Terra Shield.
Exactly. Back in Gen 5, the ability Parental Bond was so game defining that they had to add it to the damage calculation to make it work.
That was Gen 6, Michael.
That was Gen 6. And this generation, which is Gen 8, right?
Yeah.
And this generation, they had to do the same thing for an attack. And do you want to guess which one that was?
For an attack?
Yeah. It was for an attack, not an ability. It was for an attack.
That's a Was it for Last Respects?
It was not for Last Respects, but that's a good one, but it doesn't actually apply to the damage. That one applies to the move's power.
The move's power.
Oh. That one applies to the move's power, but this one's like a whole other damage modifier.
Is it just terastalization? No, it's a move, you said.
It's a move.
Terra Blast?
No, it's not Terra Blast. This one, I can hint your way there. It has to do with what happens the turn after you use this move. It flips around and it Godzillas its way over.
Oh, Glaive Rush.
That's right.
Really?
Glaive Rush had to be coded into the actual damage modifier.
Oh, because it does double damage to yourself.
Because it doubles. Yeah, exactly. Because Ooh. Whether or not you have Glaive Rush on the field or Baxcalibur on the field, if Glaive Rush was used, then the next turn, all damage is doubled. It's just a two times modifier.
Wait, is that to both Pokemon?
No. Well,
oh, okay.
Onto the other side of the field.
Got it.
Or
got
onto
it, got
your side of the field, I should say.
Got it.
So that's Glaive Rush. If it was used the previous turn, that's a modifier of 2 going into your Pokemon. So yes, there are a lot of moving parts to damage calculation, but most of those are already done for you. However, some people commonly forget about things like targets, where if your Pokemon attacks two Pokemon with the same move, like an Earthquake or an Expanding Force or, any kind of spread move like that.
Heat Dragon, Wave, et
cetera. Heat Wave, yeah, exactly. You cut your damage down to 75%. Or Weather.
On both targets.
On both targets, exactly. Mm-hmm. Or Weather, where if Sun or Rain is on the field, your Fire or Water damage is increased by 50%. Or Burn, which is an interesting one. We're going to go back to Burn a couple of times, where if you're using a physical attack while burned, without the ability Guts, you deal 50% of your damage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the thing that I had trouble wrapping my head around is just the way that this math works, where it's mm-hmm. all in the line. And why I broke into two sections, the damage calculation and the damage modifiers, is because the damage calculation gives you a number. And then everything after that multiplies it. It doesn't matter where the items in the modifiers go. It will always apply that to the grand total. So for things like targets, even though on the damage calculation, when you go and look at it, tattooed on my arm, it happens first and then like critical happens and weather happens and random happens and all that. It still will make it just the way that math works. It still will make all the damage that you put out do 75% of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's at the beginning of the formula, at the end of the formula, that's just the way the multiplication works.
That's what parentheses do.
That's right.
In math.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. The damage calculation is all in the parentheses, and then everything after that is just a modifier. Mm-hmm. It can go wherever. So that is the damage calculation section of it. I'll touch quickly on random as well. You have a point, I believe it's 1.5.
Yeah.
Range. You do either between 85% or 100% of your damage. And that is completely out of your control. You can sometimes high roll damage. You can sometimes low roll damage. You can justify a Pokemon living at 1 HP by saying that, oh, well, I just low rolled.
Yeah.
If I got 1%
That's
higher,
how you blame it on the game.
Exactly.
That's like my favorite excuse. Like if mm-hmm. you just lived at 1, you're like, I just got low rolled.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, on average, you will. You'll
it
get like in between
the reason,
that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think it's
You'll
like
usually
a,
do like 92%.
In the actual damage calculation, it's either multiplied by 0.85 or by 1. So like, you can either do 100% of the damage or 0.85% of the damage.
Mm. I didn't know that, actually. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's where the 0.15 is. It's a range of 0.15. The number that exists is somewhere between 0.85 and 1.
Interesting. Now, let's get into critical hits.
Yes.
And this is where burn is going to come in as well. But critical hits have a multiplier of 1.5 ever since Gen 5,
mm-hmm.
Where Gen 5 was 2 for a little bit. They wanted to try that out for a bit. It did not work very well. The neat thing about crit is that it ignores your negative stat changes, your negative attack changes. And it also ignores the opponent's defending positive stat changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a +1 to attack, it still takes that into account. If you have a -1 for attack, it'll treat it as if you have a +0 to attack.
It also ignores all stage effects too. So
yes.
Light screen, reflect, weather.
That's right. Negative weather, yeah. And then same thing with attacking into a Pokemon. If a Pokemon has +2 defense, mm-hmm. then you're treating it as if it has 0 plus zero defense. It just goes to its base. So again, it does everything inside that damage calculation, but then it ignores those other multipliers that it has afterwards, which is great for things like Dondozo, for attacking into Dondozo. If you get yourself a nice crit on a Dondozo, you don't have to worry about the Tatsugiri in its mouth giving it commander plus two Omni boost.
Yeah, that's all gone.
It just does the damage, exactly. It doesn't ignore burn, and it hasn't since Gen 3. And that is not something I knew until doing research for this episode.
Yeah, burn is kind of overpowered. That's why all the burn moves are like such low accuracy, like Will-O-Wisp.
Right. But it does still give, but crit does still give a 1.5 times boost in that long string of modifiers. So it is worth getting a critical hit when you're burned. Mm. It still does extra damage. It just doesn't do as much as a normal crit would.
It does also get rid of their negative defense drops. Their positive defense raises.
Yeah. Critical hits normally have around a 4% chance of happening. But that also increases in stages.
It's so a 4% chance for you, but
that's right.
A 20% chance for the enemy.
Exactly. Yeah. 20, I think, is giving it a little not enough credit. It's an unwritten rule that it feels like about 50 to 60.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So again, it increases in stages. If you have a plus one on your crit from like a razor claw or a scope lens, that brings it up to a plus one in crit, which is 12.5%. And a focus energy gives you plus two. So if you just have a focus energy, that gives you plus two to crit, bringing it to 50%. If you have both a scope lens and you use focus energy, that gives you a plus three to crit. And that is 100%.
Yeah, it's considered 100 for crit. Crit max is at 100. At 3. Unlike attack stats and all those other stats that go to 6.
Right. Enter Hydreigon in the Sun. If we want to talk about a Pokemon that can do a ton of damage based on critical hits, let's talk about Hydreigon in the Sun. Hydreigon.
Hello.
Run a scope lens on it. You run focus energy on it. And you run something like Heat Wave or Draco Meteor. If you have that plus one and you use a focus energy, give it plus three, every single move that you do will always have a 100% chance to crit, which will always make sure that your damage reductions aren't applied. So when you use things like Draco Meteor and it reduces your special attack by two stages, doesn't matter. You're still doing all that damage.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you use things like Heat Wave, you're now using a spread move. And even though its damage is reduced by 75%, you are still increasing that damage by 1.5 times because of crit. And you're doing a ton of damage. If you have weather, if you have the sun out, then you're doing an increasing 50% damage from that Heat Wave and doing even more damage to the enemy.
If you terastalize, you get
if you terastalize, so if you terra fire.
Yep.
If you terra fire, you get even more. And we're going to talk about terastalization next. I thank you so much for bringing that up. Terastalization is new to Gen 9.
Hello.
Obviously. It's Hello. Me. Welcome.
Terastalization.
It's me. And offensively, it doesn't have a place in the damage calculator. It does defensively. But we'll talk about that in a bit. But it does modify stab. Mm-hmm. When you terastalize, it modifies stab or same type attack bonus. That's a bonus that you get when you attack with a move that is of the same type. And in Terra, it works like this. When you are terastalized into a different type than the Pokemon's original type, the Pokemon's original type and the Terra type moves get a 1.5 times boost. So if you are a Hydreigon and you have Dragon Dark as your normal types, and then you Terra Fire, your dragon moves, your dark moves, and your fire moves will all get a boost, a 1.5 times boost to its damage. Or if your Pokemon has adaptability, it'll get a 2 times boost.
This is why the game looked so bad. They spent so much time coding this in.
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough just figuring this out. When terastalized into the same type as the Pokemon's original ability, stab is a 2x boost instead of a 1.5x boost. So if you're a high dragon again, and you instead terrastalize into dragon, your dragon moves will do 2x the damage. Your dark moves will still just do 1.5x damage, and your fire moves won't have any boost at all. But that dragon move will be even more powerful. Mm-hmm. If you have adaptability, that's a 2.25x boost. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we were wondering about for the longest time. You told me about it a couple of weeks ago, and I am, I love that.
Thank God that's all that it is.
Yeah.
They were smart enough to look at it and be like, okay, we have to do something here.
Adaptability is going to make things do too much.
Yeah. And that's why I feel like with the adaptability users that we have at the moment, that being Basculin and
soon to be Bascule Legion.
Yeah, soon to be Bascule Legion. What we're seeing is instead of just going for that 2.25% boost, they'd rather just have another 2x boost.
That's right.
A third 2x boost, which makes a lot of sense. I totally get it. Like, would you rather get 2x the damage on a move or just get 0.25 more on a move that already has 2x?
Let's just have more moves that will KO more Pokemon more often.
Yeah.
That's great.
And also gain the defensive capabilities of your Terastalizations.
That's right. Exactly. And then that's where Terra Shield comes into effect, is Terra Shield will overwrite your defenses to be whatever the type is that your Terastalization has. So if you are a Hydreigon that tears into fire, now you are weak to water, now you are resistant to grass, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, on the topic of Terastalization, let's talk about Armourouge and Indeedee.
Hee-hee.
Because in my opinion, Armourouge and Indeedee is the biggest and most accessible answer to what kind of combination can I do that will do as much damage as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. So do you want to actually talk about the Armourouge and Indeedee interaction there?
So are we going Flash Fire Armourouge or are we going Weak Armor Armourouge?
We can talk about Weak Armor Armourouge to get it even.
So if you've ever had a best of three on the showdown ladder and you see that your opponent has an Armourouge and an Indeedee with an iron bundle on the team and they reject the open team sheets, you know something's coming. So what is coming is Armourouge in the lead next to an iron bundle. You look at it, you think, oh, this is innocent. Nothing can possibly go wrong here. They're just going to go for Icy Wind and try to Trick Room or something. No, instead, what they go for is a flip turn on your Armourouge, break your weakness policy, break your weak armor to give you +2 in speed. You are now a +2 special attack, +2 speed Armourouge. You flip turn into an Indeedee, which then gives you psychic terrain on the field, which boosts your expanding force doubly. Plus also giving you a 1.3x boost because it is a psychic move being used on the floor in psychic terrain. And also becomes a spread move. Everything dies.
Everything goes away.
Yeah.
You can do a similar style of play as well if you you turn into your Armourouge using a fast Pokemon like Kilowattrol. If you Terastalize into Psychic.
Or Grass, yeah. Those are your options.
Or Grass, but in my mind, if you Terastalize into Psychic, then you also get the x2 boost
even
to your Expanding Force. Mm-hmm. If you U-turn into an Indeedee and you set up Expanding Force and then you do the spread move damage to the two Pokemon, yes, you are, again, doing only 0.75 damage to each of those Pokemon, but you have Expanding Force, which is multiplied by 2. You have your Terra type, which is multiplied by 2. You have psychic terrain, which increases by whatever percent.
1.3.
1.3. You have Weakness Policy, which gives you a +2 to special attack. It just does damage. The maths.
And it's all countered by one dark type.
And it's all countered by a single dark type. You bring out a Hydreigon, it's over. Yeah. Also, I need to really quick retcon something that I was saying. Terra Shield actually only applies in Terra Raid battles because damage calculation doesn't actually take defense into account as a modifier. It only takes it into account during the calculations. Terror shield is applied in terror raid battles when the boss's raid shield is active. Like that's a whole thing. But we're not worried about that. We're worried about what is competitively viable. Now, what I can't tell you, unfortunately, is how knowing all this will help going up against any given Pokemon. Because there's always your opponent's defense and special defense and HP that they have custom control over to make it so that they live or don't live a move. And that all comes down to experience, really.
That's what the EVs more, be.
Exactly. The more that you play against certain Pokemon, the more that you know how much damage your moves will do. But again, even knowing how much HP they have generally, even knowing how much defense they have generally, special defense generally, you can use those modifiers to your advantage to do as much damage as possible. Usually when we're like, this is going to Oko a Pokemon, or this is going to bring them down to half, or this is going to bring them down to a certain amount where another Pokemon can take it out. That is coming from experience. So when you hear us say things like that on the videos, and then you see it actually happen, or you see our surprise when it doesn't happen, that is all part of the experience.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, you'll eventually get better at this the more you play against defensive damage. It's not a damage calculation, but it's a calculation on the other end. It's damage taken. So there's things like light screen that you have to take into consideration. What a negative one in defense feels like. What a plus one in defense feels like. There's light screen. There's reflect. There's also things like weather, which, you know, in this generation, something that has changed since the last math episode is now we have hail giving ice types a defense boost.
That's right.
We have sand giving rock types a defense boost, a special defense boost. Special defense,
that's right, yeah.
So there's just a lot of other multipliers on the other side. There's always an attacker, there's always a defender. Your Pokemon will be doing one of two or both every single turn.
That's right. Yeah, and then there's looking into your stat increases of attack and defense and special attack and special defense, all the things that Dundozo gets all of. that is all just what's going to affect your main stat distribution, right? Right at the very beginning, that damage calculation section before the modifiers. One thing that has come new to Scarlet and Violet, three things actually. Let's talk about the easy one first. We'll talk about King Gambit specifically.
Ooh.
King Gambit with Supreme Overlord. Every time a Pokemon goes down, I believe you get a 10% attack boost. Is that right?
On your side of the field.
On your side of the field. On your King Gambit specifically?
Yes.
Yes.
On your King Gambit only.
On your King Gambit only. So that is one of those moves that influences the damage calculation, one of those abilities that influences the damage calculation before all of the modifiers. And if anybody knows anything about math, it's the first number, the number that will be multiplied, that matters the most.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you have 100 powers worth of attack and that increases by 10, by just 10 points, then that gets multiplied by your stab, that gets multiplied by the weather, I guess, that gets multiplied by critical, that gets multiplied by everything.
By everything, yeah. No, that's a big number.
It's huge.
It's a lot more meaningful than taking a 1.5 times boost, for example, a lot later in the calculation, because, you know, that 1.5 times is going off of what the base number was. So if that base number is bigger, then that multiplier is more meaningful.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So that's King Gambit. Skulk. In Scarlet and Violet, where King Gambit is new, there's also the advent of Protosynthesis and Quark Drive, which is new to us right now in series two, but may not be new to people by the time they're listening to this, if they're listening to this later on. Protosynthesis increases your Pokemon's base, whatever highest stat, right? So if their highest stat is attack, then that increases their attack by 30%, by a whole life orb's worth of damage. Or if it's speed, then it increases it by 50%. But in the spirit of damage calculations, we'll talk about it like this, where if you have 30% extra attack. You can still boost your attack from like swords dances or belly drums or things like that. 2+6 mm-hmm. while also having that 30% worth of attack.
Now, Mike said it was like having a life orb, but it's like we said before, it's a lot more meaningful than a life yes. orb though, because life orb comes again later in the calculation. The life orb doesn't get multiplied by plus ones and plus twos, but this original attack is getting multiplied by everything.
That's right.
Scary.
So you can have your protosynthesis multiplied by a life orb mm-hmm. because life orb lives in that other category where it's the 0.3 times increase. Mm-hmm. So you have all of this extra damage. You're like going from 100 attack to 130 attack. You're then increasing it by life orbs 0.3. So now you're putting on an extra 33 damage onto that. So that's 166 right there.
Spooky.
It's huge. Okay, so there's that. And then the other thing, you have King Gambit, you have Protosynthesis, you've also got the Pokemon that aren't in our current series yet, but will be in the game eventually, the Ruinous Pokemon. Anything Yikes. That has of ruin and on the last little bit of it. You're scared of those beads, you're scared of the sword, scared of all that. Terrified. Essentially what that does is that either cuts every Pokemon on the field's defense, special defense, or it increases every Pokemon on the field's attack and special attack by 25%. And again, that happens right at the base calculation, right at the damage calculation, that number, that hard and fast number before all of the calculations. So it can make your Pokemon do incredible damage either by reducing the opponent's defenses or increasing your attack, but it is a bit of a double-edged sword in that it also increases or decreases the opponent's or your side of the field as well.
Mm-hmm. If you guys are remembering early Scarlet Violet.
Pre-Series 1.
Yeah, and how fast things would go down, that is why. If you're remembering Fluttermane one-shotting you no matter what happens, and being terrified of it, that's because Chiyu is next to it.
Because if you're playing series 2 right now and you're like, this Fluttermane isn't as good as I remember. Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Chiyu's not beside it anymore.
I think people are forgetting how meaningful it is. Because keep in mind, these are the raw stats getting changed. So you're getting a raw stat increase 2 times over because you would be able to boost their energy, that Fluttermane, to do more attack, and you would also be able to boost their energy theoretically again to give it a second photosynthesis yeah. boost with your Chiyu next to it.
It's a ton of damage.
Guys, we are living in a world where damage calculate everything's getting one shot, and everything will get one shot soon. The second those ruinous Pokemon enter the game, games are already going a lot quicker with Paradox Mons. Like series one games would take like maybe like 5 to 6 turns. Nowadays, it's like, okay, 3-4 turns, game's over.
Yeah, you can be done a game by turn 3, for mm-hmm. sure. It's important to remember as well, and for people who are listening in the future, when other series have dropped, that pre-series 1 did not include home Pokemon.
Yeah.
And what I'm assuming, and again, hi people from the future who are calling me out for being right or not, I am assuming that home Pokemon are coming before the ruinous Pokemon are coming.
I think they have to.
Yeah. And I think there's going to be a lot of different strategies that you can do with ruinous Pokemon. But I do believe that the ruinous Pokemon are going to be everywhere because of things that influence the base stats are just so, so good. Mm-hmm. And they will always be good.
And if you're just
raw numbers,
if you're listening to this in the far, far future, then we already know that every team has one of the 2 restricted Pokemon plus an Iron Hands plus a Ruinous Legend on it. Because if they don't, they're trolling.
And if you're listening to this in the far, far, far future, how's Gen 10? Is it fun? Have we stopped Pokemon? Is Pokemon done? Like, what happened?
Are we still here?
Yeah. Are we still here? Yeah. So there are a few caveats to learning the Pokemon math. And the major caveat here is that sometimes the math doesn't matter, right? Mm. You can catch and hatch as many Pokemon as to be as strong as you want. But if you attack with an earthquake into a team with an earthworm with Earth Eater, that earthworm isn't taking damage. If you attack with an earthquake into a team that uses Wide Guard, that team isn't taking damage. If you attack with an earthquake into a flying Pokemon, that Pokemon isn't taking damage. If you attack with an earthquake into a Pokemon that has an air balloon, that Pokemon isn't taking damage. There are moves and items and abilities and types that totally negate, well, earthquake specifically, but also pretty much every other move in the game.
There's immunities. There's typings. There's, oh yeah, we didn't even talk about types. I guess, yeah, there's a whole like little... times
there's
two,
a whole subset
divided by
defensive,
two,
yeah,
divided by four, you know, resistances and damages.
That's right. Yeah. What we talked about today was mostly how to do damage and not how to mitigate damage. But that is something that you will probably have to figure out on your own, when to do it, how to do it, what you can do, what your options are. And honestly, that's what makes Pokemon as 3-4 dimensional as possible, is just there's so many ways for everything that you do to have a reaction, right? For most things, if you have an attack that can do damage, you can protect it in some way. You can mitigate it in some way. You can swap out your Pokemon to bring out something new in some way that will take less damage.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's just a race to who can bring the opponents down to zero first. That is the bare definition of a Pokemon battle, is who can bring their opponent's Pokemon down to zero first. Beautiful. And hopefully this has just helped you get there a little quicker, or at least a little more mindfully.
Yes. I feel like if there's anything you could take away from this video, is understanding why the damage that you are dealing when you play a Pokemon battle happens.
Yes.
Why does this move that doesn't typically KO your Pokemon, why is it KOing this time? And what factors do you have to take into consideration before thinking, should I swap? Should I keep this in? Will they finish me off? Will I finish them off?
Mm-hmm.
Answering those questions will make you a Pokemon better Pokemon battler. It's a little bit of a shame that the timer is as short as it is this generation, because there are times where you just need to sit there and do math. Like, yeah. The one that always gets me, because remember, I'm a feeler. The one that always gets me kind of mixed up is determining whether a higher damage non-stab move is better, or if a resisted stab move at about the same damage is better. I freeze and have to do actual mental math to do this, because I have to multiply by 0.5 because it's resisted, and then I have to multiply it by 1.5 because it's stab, and then I gotta see how much they're doing. It's a lot.
Yeah. Typically, I will say that typically, after having so many of those moments where I'm like, oh, what does this do? What does this do? I had to define it for myself. And my hard and fast rule right now is, if you have a move that is not very effective on the other Pokemon, but is stab, that will usually do more damage than your coverage move, which is normally effective onto the other Pokemon. When it gets into super effective territory, though, that's when the math gets a little raunchy.
You also have to think, is it spread or not spread too?
Yes, exactly.
I go into that situation a lot with Torkoal specifically, because Torkoal has the added one of, it's spread move, but it's in the sun. So you're just like, should I earth power? Should I just erupt again? I'm at full health. What should I do?
Or even going between like earth power and flamethrower. Like sometimes that's it's hard math to do.
Because then you have to assume, are you getting hit or not?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. Yeah. With eruption specifically. Yeah. Because that'll do even less damage. It's true.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's all I got for math this week. And of course, like I said, there's a whole idea of defense and how to play defensively. But I don't think really that knowing the math will influence that as much as knowing the moves, or knowing type matchups, or knowing, you know, your items and abilities. Because if you are only going off of stats, there's so much more to it. There's just so much more to it than that.
This is not a kid's game, no matter what anyone tells you.
It's so hard for kids. I can't believe that we, like, that, you know?
I have a conspiracy theory, and this is why I think Pokemon tries to keep a hush-hush on EVs and IVs.
I know the exact answer to that, but go ahead.
It's because that mystery is supposed to exist for kids.
Exactly.
This Pokemon that you got is supposed to feel better than the last one you got. Each Pokemon is supposed to be unique, you know? Selective breeding is a bad thing to teach children, but it's what we adults do in this Pokemon game.
It's so interesting that it blows my mind all the time where how EVs, effort values, are meant to be a mechanic where if you spend more time with your Pokemon and you
casters can't say that word.
Right, exactly. They can't say that word. If you spend more time with your Pokemon and you train up your Pokemon using a word that casters can use, then that Pokemon will be stronger by the end of the game. And that is why your starter always has such a big impact to you at the end of the game. Because you had
it in a lot of battles. Because you
played it through everything. And that is, if anything, the thing that's going to have max effort values in whatever it is. In pretty much everything. That's why if you're playing through the normal so game, yeah. Your EVs are a mess.
Oh, absolute disaster. Like, they are not optimal. Stop bringing your in-game teams to ladder.
Exactly. But I mean, there are some people who do that and like you can really, really feel that. And so to bring it back to the first thing I said, where if you don't know effort values and individual values, learning that will change your life in this game.
You got to go study up, friend.
And that one, thankfully, is easier to learn than a one-hour podcast. So that said, I feel like we should end it off there. But
next week, what are we doing next week?
Well, next week is Chikorita
episode.
It's the Chikorita episode.
Remember we used to do that? When did we stop? We used to like label the Pokemon's name of like what the episode was.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we used to guess.
Yeah, it's like, oh, this was the Magnemite episode. This was the Muck episode.
Yeah.
Now we're in the I know next week's episode is Chikorita. We got back to the easy ones.
What do we even do for the Chikorita episode? What is significant about Gen 2?
Today was a math episode. Let's do English next week. We're going to do Pokemon etymologies. Where does Chikorita come from? Ita is small.
Yeah.
I know Ita is small. Chick... Like a chicory? Is that
like a chickpea?
What is a Chikorita? I know bay leaf. I know what that is because it is a bay leaf. That is an actual thing. Chikorita? Right. No idea.
Do you want to actually know? Because yeah, I can tell you that. Okay. So we're gonna waste it for next it's episode. Fine. But
we'll forget by next episode anyway.
Yeah.
No, you're gonna make more people upset if we save it now.
That's true. let's see. Origin. Chikorita appears to be based on sauropods. Okay. Its shape and appearance also alludes to that of a pear or a Belgian endive, a type of chicory.
Chicory. Yeah. Chicory and
now
Ita.
I'm looking up what's small a chicory.
Small chicory.
Oh, a chicory is an herb native to Europe and Asia. It's also grown in the United States. Chicory root contains inulin, a starchy substance. Chicory root also has a mild laxative effect and decreases swelling. Oh, that's cute. So it's like a little, like a little herb, like a nice little herb,
a little ibuprofen.
Cute. This little Tylenol Pokemon.
I'm going to call my Chikorita Advil next time. That's it.
A leaf. I don't know what Meganium is, but that's a question for three episodes from now. Folks, if you enjoyed this episode, please do share this along with somebody who just needs to know the math of Pokemon.
Or hopefully needs something to listen to on the ride home.
Yeah, I'm a little cautious about that kind of thing now because it's like, oh, for the math episode, I don't know if people are going to be listening to this on the way home. But I think it's necessary.
At the gym.
At the gym, you're going to be smart and strong.
Where do you guys listen to us? That's going to be the answer, the question for today's podcast. Do you listen to PokeSports while pumping iron or, you know, just driving to work on your morning commute, drinking a coffee? Where do you listen to us? Do you listen to us in the shower, on the floor, on the ceiling, at the roof?
All of that.
At the park?
All of the above.
Where do you listen to us?
On the shower, in the roof, on the park. There it is. All right, folks. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next week. Say goodbye to Gen 1, folks. Next episode is Gen 2 Pokesports. Bye-bye. Bye.